ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्याम्रतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् We are going to discuss one of the very short works of Shankara, Adi Shankaracharya. The work is titled Pratasmarana Stotram. So you can find the find it in kamakoti.org or probably Sanskrit documents site. It is a work, a very small Prakarna Grantha. It is a Vedantic work which speaks about the three steps or Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam in the Vedantic seeker's life or the spiritual path of the seeker. So the three steps of Shravana Manana and Nididhyasanam is explained with respect to worshipping or Upasana. As a way of Upasana or through Upasana, Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, how it can be achieved. So harmonizing or mixing Upasana with Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam or Jnana Marga is what is the main purpose of this work. And it is not just that which is the purpose of this work. Shankara explains the truth in very clear terms, and there are a lot of concepts that are embedded in this small work. Too many concepts, almost most of the Vedantic concepts are embedded in this particular work. We will try to discuss a few of the aspects. So this work consists of three shlokas, one for Shravanam, one for Mananam, one for Nididhyasanam. So which Shankara, in order to explain it with respect to Upasana, calls it as Smaranam, Bhajanam, and Namami, Namanam or Namaha, Namaskaram. So Smaranam, Bhajanam and Namaskaram. That's what he terms Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So three shlokas, and then there is one Mangala shloka. The last shloka is a Mangala shloka which speaks about as to what a person will achieve by learning this shloka. So as the title suggests, Pratasmarana Stotram. So Prataha means in the morning. So it is a shloka which is to be chanted in the morning. So there are two interpretations that we can have in order to understand. So there are two interpretations that we can have of Prataha. So Prataha means morning. So we can say in the morning we have to chant this shloka. That is one way of explaining it, and there is another way of explaining it. Prataha means waking up from the sleep of ignorance, from the sleep of avidya, from the sleep of sorrow, sleep of samsaram, waking up. So it is not complete wake up, but when a person tries to wake up. So when a person is trying to wake up, slowly he wakes up, he goes back, he wakes up, he goes back. So he is striving for realization. That means a person who has started in the spiritual path, his inner eye is slowly opening. That is morning time. That is the time when a person wakes up, or he is waking up from the sleep of ajnanam. So he is waking up, and at that time he has to do this. He has to chant these three shlokas. He has to follow these three shlokas in life. He has to implement these three shlokas. And that is what is the purpose of this shloka. So Prataha can be interpreted as morning time, or the time when a spiritual seeker has started in the spiritual path with the quest of realizing Brahman. So before we enter into the work, it's very important to understand the essence of Vedanta. So we may also think that Amma says that implementation is more important than learning or preaching, as the Bhuvan Maharaj said to Chinmayananda, that learning Vedanta is easy, preaching Vedanta is still easier, but practicing is really tough. So we may think that practicing is quite different from learning. So learning and implementation, or jnanam and vijnanam, they are entirely different. They are not entirely different. One is at the intellectual plane and the other is trying to always remember, residing in. So one is intellectually convinced and the other is living in the truth. So when or if we shouldn't put our hand, like fire burns things. So with jnanam and vijnanam of this is, jnanam is when in the intellect we know that fire will burn, but we haven't experienced it. But if our intellectual conviction is very, very strong, it reaches the saturation point, then it automatically becomes implementation. Implementation is not putting our hand into fire. So it's not much of a difference. Intellectual conviction is jnanam, whereas always remembering or always having the intellectual conviction is vijnanam. It's not much of a difference. Slowly we should increase the time of intellectual conviction or remembering the truth. We have to slowly increase day by day, and then it will become implementation. So implementation, if at least we can gain intellectual conviction about the truth, that means we are clear, crystal clear about the truth, but we may forget it because of our vasanas. We might forget it, we might come down from it for a few minutes and then go back to the truth. So that is where implementation really matters. So we know the truth, we are convinced of the truth, but still nididhyasanam, or constantly residing in the truth, is not there. But that is also fine. When Amma says that implementation is very essential in life, what she really means is that even our intellectual conviction is not clear. If our intellectual conviction is not clear, we'll not even be living in the world. We will be able to analyze, we will be able to understand that living in the world is impossible. I have to join a mission. I have to join a Mahatma that immediately will come up. So it's like telling a person is in a cage with a lion. If he is convinced that the lion will eat him, then the very next moment, not even the very next moment, that very moment he will jump out of the cage. So that means that is intellectual conviction. So we are in samsaram. If the intellectual conviction is strong, immediately we will jump out of it. And we don't even need to jump out of it to show that we will jump. We will jump becomes clear when our mind is always fixed on Brahman. That means equanimity or samatvam always will be there. That means irrespective of whatever happens around us, we may react or we may appear to be reacting. We may respond or appear to be responding. We may get angry, we may get sad, we may get very happy, excited. But internally, a person who is near us can feel the bliss emanating. So that is what is real implementation. So that is also, if we have strong intellectual conviction, that is the same as implementation. So when Amma says implementation is not there, we shouldn't go around asking how to implement it and then analyze as to how to implement it in action. We can never implement it in action. But what Amma means is that our intellectual conviction is, even our conviction itself is not strong, because if our conviction is strong, we will set aside all the obstacle that comes. If our parents or our partner or our children or our guru is an obstacle to the spiritual path, that very moment we will say, please move aside. And it will not be a statement that comes out of rage. It will not be a statement that comes out of anger. It will not be a statement that comes out of, in a way, passion, negative passion. But calmly and coolly we will say, please step aside. And if the person says, I will not step aside, The sadhaka will just laugh and then say, if you don't move, I'll kick you out. You have the choice. Now, I will definitely pass you. I'll definitely cross you. It's only a matter of whether you want to walk out yourself or you want yourself to be kicked out. And don't think if I kick out, I'm going to get affected by it. I'll laughingly kick you out. So in the same way as Vamana laughingly placed his head on Mahabali's head. Placed his feet on Mahabali's head similarly. So that is what is really, what is lacking is intellectual conviction. We have to gain intellectual conviction. Intellectual conviction has to be so strong that any moment of our life, if something obstructs our spiritual path, whether it is our father, whether it is our mother, whether it is our brother, whether it is our partner, whether it is our children, whether it is our guru, whether it is anybody, even if it is the president of United States, still we'll be able to set the person aside. That is what is called intellectual conviction. If that intellectual conviction is there, that is implementation, because we are implementing it. So it's not different. When Amma says implementation is not there, what she means is we have already known the truth, but we are not so convinced of the truth, that we are not following it. If a person who is convinced that fire will burn will never even put his hand onto fire, he'll not even go near to fire. But what we are doing is we have learned Vedanta, we are learning Vedanta, but still we try to go near fire, saying, oh, it like I can go near, it won't burn. Fire is so compassionate. Fire is Agni Devata. It is compassionate. It won't burn. Let me try. We will try all those things. And we will say, oh, let fire be there. I'll just ignore it. I'll just try to think that it is not there. All those are ways of escapism. A seeker who has strong conviction, he will implement it whenever required. Implementation means standing for the truth, remembering the truth, which means anything that obstructs the truth, set it aside. Oh, in that case, I'll be in the world and set aside things. Why should I join Chinya mission? That's for an individual to decide. It's from a person. It's on a subjective basis. We cannot say everybody has to join Chinya mission. Depending on the person's nature, we can find out whether the person is suitable in the world or he has to join the mission. That's up to a person, and that question or that analysis is out of scope in this discussion, because it is for a person, it cannot be generalized. But whether it is joining Chinmaya mission or not joining, it doesn't matter. What really matters is, are we able to stand for the truth? Are we able to set aside any obstacle that comes in the spiritual path? That is real implementation. And implementation becomes when our intellectual conviction is very strong. At least if our intellectual conviction is very strong, we might forget it some point of, or some day, in one day, like maybe for just for one hour, we'll forget it. That is fine, we will come back again. That is fine, because Krishna himself says, Yato yato nischarati manas chanchalam astiram tadas tato niyamye dat atmanyeva vasham nayet. Whenever the mind goes away from the self, then forcingly bring it back to the self. At least you know now, you have the key to it. You have the solution. You know the solution, you just have to bring it back. So if the intellectual conviction is there, at least that intellectual conviction is there, then realization is not quite far. It is just a matter of always remembering, always having that intellectual conviction. But we are in a state where this intellectual conviction itself is lacking. That is the reason why we are not able to implement Vedanta. We are able to learn quite a lot Vedanta. We are even able to learn Brahma Sutra. But still implementation is lacking to a large extent. And for implementation, as I said, we need to have intellectual conviction. So what is intellectual conviction? So before learning Pratha Smarana Stotram, we need to know, we need to understand as to what is intellectual conviction. So intellectual conviction is nothing but what Shankara says. Shankara encompasses in half a shloka. Brahma satyam jagan mitya jivo brahma eva na paraha. Anena vedhyam sat shastram iti vedanta dindima. Brahma satyam, Brahman is the ultimate truth. Jagan mitya, the world is an illusion. Jivo brahma eva na paraha. Jiva is Brahman alone, it's not different from Brahman. Anena vedyam, which this is known, sat shastram, scriptural truth, or the all scriptures are known by this. Does roars iti Vedanta dindima, iti roar, does roars the line of Vedanta. So this is intellectual conviction. Intellectual conviction is knowing this crystal clear. Any moment or any moment of time we can forget it, but we should be able to explain, we should be able to stick on to this truth that everything is Brahman. There is only Brahman here. Everything is only Namarupam, which is Mithya in Brahman. That is the clear conviction. That is intellectual conviction. And this is something that we have to remember always. So Brahman is there, Namarupam is there. So Brahman is Satyam, Namarupam or Jagat is Mithya. Then who am I? I am Brahman because my nature is Chit. My nature is, the I is Chit. In the I also has Nama Rupam, which is the body, the Rupam of body, the name of Hari Ram, the name of many other person. The name is there, the Rupam is there. Remove the name and Rupam in this I as well. Then we will realize that that which pulsates within us, that which is always pulsating, that which is that which has Puranam inside us, that is Brahman. That is Brahman alone. Brahman of the nature of Satchidanandam. So the next is, what is Brahman? Brahman is Satchidanandam. Brahman is that Chit, that consciousness which pulsates in each and every person. Oh, it is pulsating each and every person. So that means it's not one, it is many. No. It is one Chit that pulsates in each and every person. Even as one sun gets reflected in different pots, or the water kept in different pots, even as one Akasham gets limited in various pots, similarly, it is one Brahman, one Chit, which seems to be limited, seems to be associated with each and every Namarupam. But if Namarupam is Mithya, then there is only Chit everywhere. And that is one Chit alone, it is not multiple Chit. And it is this Chit that is Sat as well. That means Namarupam is not Sat, Namarupam is not eternal. But Brahman is Sat. This Brahman is not only Chit, it is not consciousness, it is not the light that always exists. But it always exists, it's not just the light, but it always exists. It is existence beyond all limitations. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na abhavo vidyate satah. Na abhavah vidyate satah. For sat, for existence, there is no abhavam, there is no non-existence. So that means Brahman is not only light, but it is that light which always exists. It is that light which experiences its own existence. It's that light which illumines everything else. Nana chidra gado darastida mahadipa prabhabhaswaram. Jnanam yasyatu chakshuradi karna dvara bahispandate. Jnanamiti tameva bhantam anubhati. Yetat samastam jagat. Tasmai shri guru murtaye namairam shri dakshina murtaye. So in dakshina murti ashtakam Shankara says that Janami iti tameva bhantam anubhati etat samastam jagat. I know or know I am there. That is being followed by everything else. Natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. Naima vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Tasya basa sarvam idam jagat. Tameva bhantam anubhati. So it's the existence of the self, following which everything exists. That means it is the Chit that illumines itself. That means it is Sat, and it also illumines other entities which are not Sat. which are vyavaharika sarvichar, temporarily real. Oh, you are quoting from Upanishads. I accept only Gita. I cannot accept Upanishads. I can only accept that which came directly from Ishvara. Yadaditya gatam tejo jagat bhasayate kilam yachandramasi yachagnav taktejo viddhi mamakam. Oh Arjuna, whatever light is there in Surya, Agni and all those are my light only. That means all those are my existence. So chit is that which illumines not only itself, it illumines everything else. Oh, such is it doesn't matter. Temporary existence is fine for me. Let that chit be there and let it illumine me. That is enough for me. I don't need to be that chit. What is the purpose? What is the importance of being that chit or understanding that I am that chit? Because anandam is its nature. Everything else has temporary happiness because it is temporary. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkayonai evate adhyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Whatever is there in the world, those objects or the happiness that we get out of sense contact with our objects, that is temporary because and sorrowful. So it is temporary, therefore it is sorrowful, therefore wise people don't reside or rejoice in it. So that means it is not okay to say that, oh, I don't want, I let that chit illumine me, I'm not that chit. It's not okay because that alone will give us anandam. And anandam is the purpose of life. Everybody, irrespective of who it is, whether a spiritual sadhaka or a worldly person, whether a rich person or a poor person, whether a jnani or an ajnani, everybody wants only one thing. They only want anandam. Anandam is the goal of life. Life itself, the purpose of life itself is anandam. And that anandam is the very nature of Brahman. It's the very nature of that Brahman which pulsates in us as I. It is not the ego I, it is not the jiva I, because namarupam is there. Negate that namarupam, negate namarupam everywhere. You will immediately find Brahman. Yasmin yasmin asti loke bodhah tat tat upekshane yad bodha matram tad brahma ityevam di brahma nischayah. How can we find Brahman? Yasmin yasmin asti loke bodhah, wherever bodham or consciousness or illumination, light is there in the world. That means wherever existence is there in the world, negate it. Means it is in the world, that means it is with nama rupam. So tat tat upekshane, upekshanam, negate it, renounce it, wherever namarupam is there, renounce that chit. Yad bodha matram, when you renounce or negate all namarupam or existence with namarupam, all existence with namarupam you negate, then you will remain behind with that I which cannot be negated, that I which doesn't have any bhadam, nirbhadam. So that I, yad bodha matram, that which is bodham alone, that which is consciousness alone, when we negate all namarupam in the world or existence with namarupam, then we will remain behind with just existence or consciousness alone. Tad brahma iti evam dhi brahma nishtayah. Tad brahma, that is Brahman. Iti evam dhi, thus the notion in the mind, in the intellect, that is Brahmanishchayam, that is intellectual conviction about Brahman. This is what Vidyaranya says in Panchadashi. So Brahma, intellectual conviction about Brahman is Brahmasatyam Jagan Mithya, which means Brahmasatyam Namarupam Mithya. Remove Namarupam. Whatever remains behind is Brahman, and whatever remains behind is that I which pulsates, which there is a sphurti, a sphuranam inside us, that I exist. Aham asmi sada bhami kadachit naham apriyah brahmeva aham. So this is what Advaita Makaranda says. I forgot the last few parts. So aham asmi, that's what Lakshmidhara says in Advaita Makaranda, that aham asmi, I exist, that is always there in us. So aham asmi, I exist, that's furanam inside us, that is Brahman. So this is intellectual conviction. Intellectual conviction is whatever we see, whenever we see, remove, negate nama rupam, and then find out the I. So if we find out the I, then the I is distinct, or Brahman is distinct from everything else, then it is very easy to have a strong intellectual conviction as well as implementation, because we now know the real entity and we know the unreal entity. So whatever is apart from the real entity is unreal. Therefore, if something comes up in our spiritual path, then we know whether it is Brahman or not. If it is not Brahman, then immediately we can set it aside. Why? Because nama rupam is mithya. Oh, in this case, can you get rid of your cell phone now? It's not really required. So getting rid of, just because a person gets rid of worldly possessions, doesn't mean his mind still doesn't brood over it. So whatever atah sarvasya jivasya bandhakrit manasam jagat, says Vidyaranya. The problems in life or is not about the world that we see, but it's about our mental perception. So it is in the mind that we have to negate everything. So whatever we see, it is okay to have possessions, but internally we should know that it is unreal. If we know the cell phone is unreal, we don't need to negate, renounce it now. But when the right time comes, we should be able to renounce it. We will not cry because we know that it is unreal. That's where Amma said that awareness about the world. What is awareness about the world? Anityam asukam lokam. That is jagan mithya, anityam asukam lokam, or nama rupam mithya, imam prapya bhajasvamam. So having attained this nama rupam, negate it, and bhajasvamam is brahma satyam. That is intellectual conviction. So this intellectual conviction we have to strengthen day by day. It has to strengthen more and more and more and more. The more and more it gets strengthened, the more it will become strong. Once intellectual conviction becomes very strong, it automatically becomes implemented in life. When something comes in the path, in the spiritual path, in the spiritual path means something obstructs our anandam, our realization of Brahman, immediately we will be able to set it aside. We will be able to set it aside because we know that nama rupam is mithya. It doesn't matter much. Oh, can I slap the President of United States? If the President of United States stands in your way to spiritual goal of realization, you can very well do that, but that will never happen. If it happens, you can boldly do that. But at the Vyavaharika level, if he is not posing an obstacle, and at the Vyavaharika level you are doing it, even if he is posing an obstacle and you are doing it at the Vyavaharika level, you have to face problems at the Vyavaharika level. Nama Rupam problems will be there, but if the conviction is there, even the Nama Rupam problem will cease to be a problem. Prahlada went against his father. He didn't worry about his father controlling or ruling the entire world. Still he did that, and what was the benefit? Even though his father threw him, they threw him off a cliff, they threw him into the ocean, they threw him into fire, still he came out unharmed. He was not, they were not able to harm him. And they also tried like sending him to a Gurukula. So Prahlada went to the Gurukula, but what happened was, in the spare time or after a few days, the Guru went to Hiranyakashipu and complained that your son is spoiling the other students in his break period or free time, tea time, we can say tea time like we have. So in his tea time, he is teaching about Brahman. He is teaching against you to his co-students. So which is very famous as Dvadash Lakshanam of the Atma, or 12 characteristics of the Atman. So that's what Prahlada did. So nothing could, like, though there were at the Nama Rupam level, Nama Rupam plane, at the Vyavaharika plane, there were issues, but still he was able to set them aside because he knew that it is an it is a long dream. He knew that it is mithya, therefore he didn't give it much value. So that's where Amma says that we shouldn't give more importance to small things in life, like things. We need to know how much value we need to give to things in the world, things in life. So we shouldn't spend time on unimportant things. We should be spending time on gaining this intellectual conviction so that it automatically becomes implementation, so that we'll be able to rejoice in Anandam, which is our very nature. So this is something we have to remember. This is the essence of Vedanta. Whatever we learn, we should always remember this. Remembering this will increase our intellectual conviction, which means we'll be trying to implement more and more Vedanta, which means we'll be able to remain, or we will be able to lead life in a blissful way. The purpose of life or Janma Safalyam will happen because of this. So as I said, Pradasmarana Stotram consists of three shlokas plus one Mangala shloka. So these four shlokas, three plus one, my father has set these four shlokas in one raga each. So the first shloka, like he has composed it. So the first shloka is set in the raga which is sung in the morning, which is called Bhupalam. The second shloka is set in the raga called Atana. Third shloka is set in the raga called Hamsanandi. And the fourth shloka is set in Madhyamavati. So it's a known fact among musical lovers that Bhupalam is the raga with which we start the day. The morning or the day starts with Bhupalam raga and Mangala raga. There are many Mangala ragas, but one of the most popular Mangala raga is Madhyamavati Nagumo Mu Karavani. That's one of the song, famous songs sung at the end of the any concert. So Madhyamavati is one of the raga which is sung at the end, which is a Mangala raga. Another raga which is also sung at the end is Sindhu Bhairavi, but Madhyamavati is very popular. So I'll just sing the first shloka. We'll see the first shloka now and then get into the next two shloka.
Pratasmarami hridi samsphuradatma tattvam sachit sukam paramaham sagatim turiyam yad swapna jagara sushuptam avaiti nityam tad brahma nishkalamaham nacha bhuta sangah. Pratasmarami hridi samsphuradatma tattvam sachit sukam paramahamsagatim turiyam. Turiyam, it is yat swapna jagara sushuptam avaidi nityam tad brahma nishkalamaham nacha bhuta sangah. So as I said, smaranam, first is smaranam. So smaranam is equivalent of shravanam. So here Shankara speaks about Brahman, the qualities, or we can't say qualities because Brahman is nirgunam. The characteristics of Brahman is being explained, but before characteristics, first characteristics, there are two things that Shankara mentions in this shloka: characteristics of Brahman and then finally what Brahman is not. So if we remember, the Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti starts with Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekam. So speaking about Brahman or what Brahman is, a proper analysis of an entity is when we speak about what the entity is and what the entity is not. So if we see analysis, or when a person submits a document or a PhD document, PhD work on some subject, then he says, or some entity, it's more common with respect to gadgets or the current day gadgets. So when somebody is writing an article on iPhone, they'll say what the iPhone is, and then they'll say what the iPhone is not, or what all the iPhone does and what all the iPhone doesn't do. So similarly, Shankara first speaks about what Brahman is, and then he negates the other entities from Brahman. He says what the Brahman is not, which is also required in the spiritual path. So Shravanam, if we also remember Shravanam, Shravanam is the process of understanding the scriptures with emphasis on Brahman. So understanding or knowing as to what Brahman is, or focusing on Brahman while learning the scriptures, is called Shravanam. In that, like, Shadlingas are used which are not required here. So if we need to know as to what is Brahman, we also need to know what is not Brahman. So first, Pratas Smarami. Smarami. Smarami means I remember, I do Shravanam of Pratas Smarami. Prataha, in the morning, or when I wake up, I remember Brahman. What is the Brahman? Hridi. Hridi. Hridi means in the heart. Samsphurad. Samsphurad. Samsphurad means, Sphuranam means which pulsates. Samsphurad means Samyak Sphuranam, which shines clearly, crystal clear. That means Shankara is in fact mocking at Ajnani, saying that how can you not see the self? Pashyannapi na pashyati mudaha. How can you not see the self? Because it is clearly pulsating in each person. It is very clearly pulsating. If we go to Balakrishna Nair or Paramartha or Amma, they'll say, I clearly see everything as Brahman. Ramana Maharshi used to tell to followers of Gandhi, saying that, I can only see Brahman. How can you not see Brahman? I can see only Brahman. So Brahman, or that which has Puranam, I exist consciousness, which is some Svarat, clearly pulsating Hridi, in the Hridi, Atma Tattvam, that Atma Tattvam, that reality of Atma, that truth of Atma, that truth of Self, which shines in the heart, which pulsates in the heart very clearly, crystal clearly, that I remember. So it is it just pulsating? What is its nature? Satchit Sukham, Sat. Chit and Sukham. That means Sachidanandam is its nature. As we discussed, existence, consciousness and bliss is its nature. And Paramahamsa Gatim. So Sachit Sukham, it is clearly pulsating. Its nature is Sachidanandam. But have somebody experienced it? So Paramahamsa Gatim, it's the goal, it's the truth, or the goal that is set for Paramahamsas, that means the goal achieved by Paramahamsas. So Paramahamsa Gatim, in a way, Paramahamsa Gatim means Gati for Paramahamsas. For Paramahamsas are sannyasins, so we can interpret it in two ways. Paramahamsa Gatim means Gati of Paramahamsas, or the Gati attained by Paramahamsas. Maybe grammatically it's not right, but the second meaning makes more sense. So it is the Gati of Jnanis, Gati of Mahatmas. That means it is that which is attained by Mahatmas. So it is experienced by people. Oh, it is experienced by people. That is fine. It is experienced by people. I agree. But what you are telling is just an experience. There is no scriptural justification for it. So Shankara says Turiyam. So that is what is called as Turiyavastha in Mandukya Upanishad. So if you think this is against scripture, this is not as per the scriptures, then the scriptures call it Turiyavastha, the fourth avastha. So what is the fourth avastha? The next question will be Turiyam. Oh, you are bringing in a lot of concepts. I am just learning a Prakarana Grantha. I am not an advanced seeker who is learning Dhamma Sutra or Mandukya Upanishad. You are bringing in a lot of concepts. Tell me, like, what is Turiya? Yet Swapna Jagara Sushuptam Avaiti Nityam. Avaiti can be interpreted as knowing or standing beyond. Two ways we can. So in the Kamakoti.org they say knows. So that means that which stands beyond, that pervades, we can say. So yet that Turiyavastha or that Atman is that which Swapna Jagara Sushuptam. The three avastas of Jagara, Swapna and Sushupti, Nityam avayiti, it always pervades. That means it is always there. Even in these three avastas, it is always there. It is that which is the underlying substratum of these three avastas, and yet it is that which stands beyond these avastas. Means it is Sakshi. It is the substratum of these three avastas. It knows these three avastas, but still it is beyond. Means that it is just a Sakshi. That means it is also the one which is always there. These three avastas are constantly changing, but still this Atman is always there. That means it is Sat, it is Brahman, whereas Swapna Jagrat Sushupti is Jagan Mithya. So it is always there. So Turiyavastha is that which is always there, which is the basis for the other three avastas of Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti, and which is beyond, which is the Sakshi, which is the reality behind these three avastas. And that is Brahman. And if you think, like, what is the Turiya is a word that is used only in Mandukya Upanishad and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So give me a better word that is accepted throughout the scriptures. So Tad Brahma, that is Brahman. This Brahman is used in all the scriptures, and Nishkalam, it is that Brahman which is Nishkalam, which is partless, which doesn't have any parts, which means which is Advitiyam, that which doesn't have any parts, cannot have any Samyogam, which means everything else has to be an illusion in that entity, which means that it is Advitiyam, non-dual, which is the only thing existing, and it is that Brahman. So till here Shankara speaks about the Atman. What is the Atman? The Atman is partless, Advitiya Brahman. It is that Advitiya Brahman. If Shankara would have said it is Advitiya Brahman, it would be tough for us to apprehend or understand. Therefore he says, don't think that I am using some big terms of Brahman and all. It is something which is always pulsating in you. So it is the consciousness that shines in you each and every minute. It is something which pulsates in you as I exist, I exist. Don't think I am using a lot of Vedantic terms which you cannot understand, which you cannot apprehend until you realize. It is always there. It is something which pulsates in you. Samsphuranam. It is not Sphuranam. Shankara is saying Samsphuranam. That means it is clearly pulsating in you. Oh Manida, oh Manishya, just purify your heart, purify your mind, remove the Namarupam thought in the mind. You will clearly see this pulsation. Then you will see that this small I, or the I that you think as small and inside you, that will become one with Brahman. That will be the only thing existing. And what is its nature? So it is not that tough to realize Brahman. It is not that tough to experience Brahman, because you are already experiencing it. The Swaranam is always there, but somehow Namarupam becomes associated or attached to this I. Therefore you are not able to understand. This is what Shankara calls as Adhyasam. We don't need to get into all those terms. So it is just Namarupam thought which impurifies this I. Remove Namarupam, negate Namarupam, then you will realize that this Samsvaranam is always there. It is not that tough to experience. And it is Sachit Sukham, it is Sachidanandam. So that is the reason why you should realize it. You should realize it because, okay, you don't need to realize just because it is the truth. It is only reality. Everything else is an illusion. But you need to realize because it is Sachidanandam. It is Anandam in nature. And you are seeking Anandam. I know you are seeking Anandam. You don't need to tell me, oh, what I am seeking now is going for Amma's retreat. What I am seeking is joining Vedanta course. What I am seeking is moksha. You can say all those. But don't give me such all Vedantic terms. I also know Vedantic terms. I will also give Vedantic terms. Shankara might be telling that I will give more fundu Vedantic terms which you will not understand. Therefore, in simple terms, it is Anandam, it is Sukham that everybody is seeking. And since you are seeking Sukham, and that Sukham you can get only in this pulsating self, therefore that is the reason why you should do Smaranam, you should do Shravanam of this Brahman. You have to do because you need Sukham. And why are Paramahamsas, why are Mahatmas very happy? So one is like you have to the proof, living proof and scriptural proof is given by Shankara. Living proof is Paramahamsa Gatim. Scriptural proof is Turiyam Yat Swapna Jagara Sushuptam Aveti Nityam and Tad Brahma. Whereas another way of saying is Shankara is telling Paramahamsas, why do you think Paramahamsas or Mahatmas like Amma, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Ramana Maharshi, etc., they are very happy? How is Balakrishna Nair or Paramartha very happy? Because they have done this Smaranam. They have done this Smaranam, therefore they are happy. There is no other reason for it. Like if not, we can say Paramartha is a sannyasi. Paramartha is a sannyasi who is propagating knowledge, who is releasing, who has an organization. Tejomi Ananda or Chinmi Ananda and Tejomi Ananda, they have a mission. Dayananda Saraswati has a mission. Amma has a mission. She is not a sannyasi, but she is serving people. She has a lot of fund to donate to worldly causes. Therefore, she is happy, we can say. Balakrishna Nair doesn't have any of these. He doesn't even have a proper house to stay because he is staying in devotees' houses. Still, he is happy. That means all these Mahatmas, all these Jivan Muktas are different from one another from the worldly perspective. Namarupam is entirely different. The state, the place, everything is different for each one of them. But what is common? The only thing common is they are happy. That means happiness cannot be in the environment. It cannot be the way they are in the world. But it is because of their inner state, their mental state of always residing in Brahman. Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. That means, why are Mahatmas happy? Because they have attained this state. That is why they are happy. And why is this state very happy? Like, even though Mahatmas have attained that state, why are they really happy even though they have attained the state? Because it is Turiyavastha which stands, which is Nityam, and it is Aveiti Nityam. It is that state, Turiyavastha, wherein you are a sakshi to Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. Most of our problems or Dukkham is because we are associated with Jagrat, Swapna or Sushupti avastas. We are so much attached and associated with these avastas that we encounter Dukkham. But if we stand beyond, if we are the sakshi, ever sakshi of all these, then we will also be able to get Anandam. We will also be able to get Satchit Sukham. And as if this is not enough, if you still doubt after saying that Mahatmas are happy and the logical explanation, still you are not happy. So there is Anubhavam, there is Yukti, still you are not happy. I'll give you Shruti as well. Because you are Nishkalam Brahma, therefore you will be happy. Now don't ask me, how come if I am Brahman, I'll be happy? Because Shruti says so. Because Chandogya Upanishad says that Yo vai Bhuma tat sukam nalpe sukam asti. That which is Bhuma, that which is perfect, that which is Purnam. Brahman is Purnam. So that which is Purnam will be blissful, is blissful. Therefore it is blissful. So don't ask me. So Shankara, like two different perspectives we can see. One is Shruti, Yukti and Anubhavam. Through all those three he has proved that Anandam is there only in the Spuranam self. The Spuranam self, which is of the nature of Satchit Sukham, Satchit Anandam. And second is as to what is the proof. So both ways we can say, both ways are almost same, I believe. So proof as to how Satchit Sukham, or how we will get Sukham by realizing the Spuranam self. And if somebody has a doubt that is this Spuranam self Brahman, we have already discussed it. Else aham asmi sada bhami kadachit naham apriyaha brahmaivaha matasiddham sachidananda lakshanam. Brahman is known in the scriptures as sachidanandam satyam jnanam anantam brahma. So sachidanandam is the nature of Brahman. There cannot be two entities with sachidanandam because mutually contradicting it will become. So mutually contradicting means there is a mutual dependency error will be there. Therefore both will become an illusion. That cannot be. Therefore, there can only be one Brahman, and aham asmi, I always exist, I pulsate and I always exist. Sada bhami, I not only always exist, sada bhami, I always shine, I always experience my existence, and kadachit naham apriyah, never am I not desired, not loved. Whenever I give up my life for somebody else, even that is not because of the welfare of the other person, but it is because when the other person is happy, I will be happy. That means it again comes back to my happiness or my love for myself. So I am never hated. That is Supreme Anandam. Supreme Anandam means when I don't hate myself, I always love. Supreme love is supreme happiness, supreme bliss. Therefore, I am Sachidanandam in nature. Therefore it is proven that I am Sachidanandam, Brahman is Sachidanandam. There cannot be two Sachidanandam. Therefore, I am Brahman. So that is what Advaita Makaranda gives. So till here about Brahman, if all these are qualities or characteristics of Brahman, then what should be negated? Nacha Bhuta Sangaha. I am not Bhuta Sangaha. I am not the Sangam of Bhutas. Means the composite of Panchabhutas. Panchabhutas are the gross elements. So that means everything starting from the body, from the gross body till the subtle intellect. I am none of those. That means those are Nama Rupam. None of those I am. So the way to come to this Atman is samsphurat, though it is samsphurat, this Bhuta Sangha's taint, Bhuta Sangha seemingly taint my nature. So in order for me to come clearly understand this Sachit Sukham aspect, I have to negate the Bhuta Sangha. I am not the Bhuta Sangha. So negate all Nama Rupam. Slowly negate Nama Rupam, one another saying, Nama Rupam is Mithya. So no negating. I cannot do negating because they exist. We have to negate because it is Anityam. So negating doesn't mean just renouncing or throwing things out of the house. We cannot throw the body. What we can do is in the mind we can throw out the body notion. The notion that I am the body can be thrown out. That is what is to be done. So throw out all notions in your mind. Negate all notions that you have, that we have, that I am so and so, I am so and so, I am this body, I am this mind, these are the people, these are real. All those notions, negate all those notions one by one. If we are not able to negate those notions one by one, if there is an easy way to negate is Nama Rupam Mithya, Jagat Mithya. Jagat includes even our body, Jagat includes even our subtle bodies, as well as causal body, because all those are part of the world. Oh, how are they part of the world? They are part of Swapna, Jagrat, Sushupti. Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. All those three are different lokas or of the same loka. Creation process includes all of them. Jagat includes all of them. So, Nama Rupam is Mithya. With that, everything gets negated. Very easily, everything gets negated. It's so easy to negate everything by saying or by terming it Nama Rupam. That's a very simple way to do. If you do that, it is Nacha Bhuta Sangaha. And if we do Nacha Bhuta Sangaha, then Samsphurad Atma Tattvam, Samsphuranam will become very clear. So why should I negate Bhuta Sangaha? In order to get Sachit Sukham, I have to negate Bhuta Sangaha. Oh, Samsphuranam is there. I always feel I exist. I always feel that. I always feel I am there. So that's where we need to do this Nacha Bhuta Sangaha, because always the I am there is there, but this I is not the Atma, which is Anandam in nature, which is unassociated with everything, which is a Sakshi. Rather than that, I am there is the ego. I am helping people, I am driving people to Amma. I am helping out people, I am taking people to Amma. This ego is there. That ego is not the real I. That ego will only lead to more and more troubles, because ego is also part of Nama Rupam. Nama Rupam cannot give us anything, but they are Dukkha Yonayaha, Dukkha Yoni. They are seeds of sorrow. They will give us only sorrow. Therefore, Namarupam, it is also a Namarupam that is not real, Samsvaranam. Svaranam is when I am there, I exist without any Namarupam, without any tainting. In order for us to experience that taintless Namarupam, we have to do Nacha Bhuta Sangaha. We have to negate Namarupam and say everything is Namarupam. I'll negate Namarupam in the mind. Whenever something comes, oh, if I negate Namarupam, then I cannot even act in the world, because without the ego, I cannot act. Without the ego, I cannot even run the spiritual path. I cannot even join Chinmaya Mission. I cannot meet Amma. So that's where Vedanta says it's not at, it's at the mental level. Externally, have the ego. Do whatever you want with ego. Without ego, you cannot work. Therefore, work with the ego. But in the mind, remind. Always remind that I am Namarupam. So Namarupam, negate Namarupam. So beyond the mind, at the mental level, have a distinction. If it is something that has to be applied to the external world, say, oh, I'll send you Namarupam. And if it is something which is at the, for the mind itself, then remind that there is no Namarupam, I am Brahman. Oh, what you say appears to be very simple, but in the mind, can you have all these distinctions? We already have those distinctions. When we say, we don't worry about thousands or the millions of people who are suffering in the world. But when we hear that one of our father or parents are suffering, immediately we will get affected. How is that possible? So that means we are already filtering things in the mind. We see two people suffering, but still we are affected only by one. The two people suffering is perceived by our sense organs. That means it is received by the mind, but still it filters out one, says one is unimportant, one is not at all required, send it out, put it into the trash folder or whatever, put it into the trash folder, it deletes it, and just the other one it takes. So that means we are already doing the filtering. It is only that we have to change the filter rule. The filter rule has to be that if it is something to do with external actions or with respect to the external world, then have this ego, and for the mind, whatever is applicable at the mental level, have it as one Brahman. Or everything is, I am that one samsphurad Atma. And on that Atma, which is one alone, which is not tainted by Namarupam, which is not tainted, which is not associated by Mithya Namarupam. And this is already done in computer. So we read beautiful articles, we surf the net and read beautiful articles. But how are everything interpreted in the computer? So internally in the computer, everything is zero and one. It's all binary format. So it's a binary format, 0 and 1. But when it comes out as whatever form we want. But internally, it is only 0, 1. So that means the mind or the computer is able to store things in 0, 1. And whenever externally it is required, it sends it. And we have... Oh, we are not computers, sir. We are not computers. How can you relate us with computers? It's fine. We write programs. We write... like in various C or C++ or Java programming languages, we write programs in which a person enters some input, he says, he gives his name, we interpret it as hello, how are you, hello Aparna, how are you, we say all those. That is possible. That means the input, we give some input and the program gets that input and it saves that input at that level, it uses that input. But when it comes out, it gives a different input. That means such filtering is possible. And it is the human mind which has created the computer. It is the human mind which codes these programs. So that means we already have. And as Amma says, we already have that filtering capability. It is very easy with respect to work, with work life. So we may get angry with people in... with our friends and all, but we cannot get angry with our boss. We may be angry with our boss, still we will not shout at the boss because we know it is not possible. So that filtering is applied at the mental state, we are very angry with the boss, but still externally, we are able to show that as if we are not angry. So that is possible. So Nachabhuta Sangaha is at the mental plane. Whenever something comes out, let it come out as Namarupam. At the mind, whatever stays in the mind has to be that Namarupam is Mithya, Brahmastatyam, that Sachit Sukham Atman I am, and that alone will lead us to Sukham, that will only give us Ananda. We'll continue later, I'm sure.